What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, it's a Football Friday. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Chris Carter, the Post-Gazette, going to join us momentarily on that Fan Hotline. Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. One more of these, at least for now, Dorn. Texter. I always thought it was a hatch tag on Twitter, you know, because it was a bird and you gave birth to a new idea, so you hatched it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not bad.
That's, yeah.
That makes some sense.
Never heard that one, but.
Hatch tag.
Hmm.
I always used to, when I would read tweets, in my head, I would read it as pound. Like pound Steelers.
Oh.
That's how I would read it.
I read it as a hashtag.
Oh.
Hash. Number.
It is 8. Thank you for that, no sell. It is 8:03. Time to get to Tom Fridays for juicy steaks, meats, and more. And it's also time for Chris Carter of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Good morning to you, Carter. How you doing, brother? Can't hear him.
I used to do hashtag Crowman. You thinking I was saying pound Crowman?
He probably was thinking that.
Pound Crowman. I just like any kind of attention. So hashtag pound Crowman. I like it. Are you going to see ground and pound football this weekend, Carter? Or might the Steelers be thoughtfully aggressive early the way that they were against the Denver Broncos? How do you think the Steelers and Chargers line up this chess match here?
Our truce is still going. I absolutely do think we're going to see a lot of that ground and pound. I do think you'll see the most aggressive version of the Steelers. Granted, that does not mean they're going to be throwing the ball 40, 50 times this week unless things get out of hand. But I do believe, we're just talking to Arthur Smith, talking to Justin Fields, parts of this offense, they want to open up more of it. I think that this is also a defense that where it ranks number one in the NFL. I think they're going to try to attack different parts of this defense that give them better chances at getting down the middle part of the field, maybe down the deep middle part of the field. I wouldn't be shocked if early in this first drive that you see them come out with the ball, if you don't see like a play action, deep post pattern, George Pickens, to just give them the option. If the Chargers leave him in one-on-one, Justin Fields just lets one rip. I do think you're going to see them, because I think part of this game is going to be about which team can put the other team behind first, and which team can force the other team to have to go into chase mode with their offensive plan. One thing, you know, people talk about Justin Fields and Justin Herbert has one more passing yard through two games than Justin Fields. So, like, the Chargers very much are playing the style of football the Steelers are playing right now, and I think this is going to come down to which defensive front disrupts the other offensive line more, which team forces the other team to get into to get more desperate in throwing the ball. That's going to be what determines the winner in this game.
What grade would you give Justin Fields for through the first two games?
I'd give him a B. I think he's kept to the script that the Steelers have given him. It'd be one thing if like this was a team that was like, well, wait a second, we gave you, you know, Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase at the wide receiver position, and you had you know George Kittle and Christian McCaffrey. Like, we gave you the all star lineup, and you're getting these numbers. But no, this offense is very young. Mike Tomlin talked about that throughout the week. Arthur Smith talked about that yesterday, calling his offense there. They said, called him a startup business. They're very much in this position where it's like, look, Justin, we know that you're getting used to things in Pittsburgh. We know that you're reforming yourself after what happened in Chicago, and we're giving you the grace to figure that out. And in doing so, we're not going to ask too much of you. So I think right now he stuck to the script. There's been some plays that have been called back that weren't his fault. There's some plays that he missed that, you know, were his fault. But those plays, I don't think were that egregious. That's why I give him a B. I think he's done very well. But eventually they are going to need him to take a step forward. But hey, all week long, we've heard the Steelers think the dam's going to break soon. And it just makes me wonder what's going to be the thing that puts the biggest crack in that dam for things to for big plays to start bursting through.
Chris, neither of these guys have made their 2024 debut, Isaac Seumalo or Roman Wilson. Who do they need more? Is that a stupid question?
No, it's not. This team really needs a wide receiver. It's a very good question, actually. Yeah. This team needs a playmaker wide receiver. Roman Wilson was drafted to help there, and he hasn't been able to help there. Meanwhile, Isaac Seumalo is their best offensive lineman. I actually think that's a very good question. I actually never thought about who would be more important in this offense. I might have told you that was stupid back in, like, you know, the start of training camp. But, you know, after seeing the lack of production, I mean – I think that no receiver outside of George Pickens right now has more than 20 yards receiving right now. And so that would certainly help their cause if they can get another guy to get open, to challenge the defenses, and to take some pressure off George Pickens. But at the same time, you know, if Isaac Seumalo was in, I think Spencer Anderson's done a very solid job filling in at left guard. But left guard was supposed to be the position that steadied Zach Frazier, that allowed him to do that. And Zach Frazier's done a great job. Like, all high marks for Zach Frazier's 2-game start in the NFL. But if Seumalo was next to him, I think it would make his job a lot easier. And I also think the Steelers would be running the ball a lot more effectively right now. And they're running the ball decently, but I think it would be even better with him in there. So I'll say it's actually kind of even because of the two needs how good Isaac Seumalo is, but also how big the need is for another playmaking wide receiver is.
Setting injuries aside, do you think we see Broderick Jones at all again this season?
I think so. I think the Steelers really believe in this guy. And I think it's also his demeanor when you talk to him in the locker room. Like, he's not moping around the locker room. He's not like woe is me-ing the way that we've seen other guys. You know, like, you know, Chukwuma Okorafor was moping around for a while when he didn't get his way. And, you know, now you see he's not even with the Patriots anymore. Broderick Jones is taking this on the chin. He's saying, hey, I just got to get better. And I think he also acknowledges that, like, hey, my right arm ain't in the best shape. But I think the Steelers, they appreciate his approach. They appreciate how hard he's been working. During training camp, he was the guy that took Troy Faltano under his wing. He was telling them about, you know, how they needed to do things in team meetings. They tell him how they needed to approach things, you know, in practice and working with them after practice. So, like, you know, I think that they are going to make sure that they see him at some point this season. Now, how do they open that door? That is a tricky question, because Dan Moore Jr. has been a very healthy left tackle for the Steelers over the first 3 years of his career, and he's actually played pretty decently to start this season. So, it might be a situation where they try to make something happen, or they might be trying to hope that something, you know, goes awry, and they're like, you know what, hey, Dan, you blew this one. We're going to give the young guy a shot over there. But I do think you see him at some point. He was picked too high to not give him another chance.
Chris Carter, the Post-Gazette, joining us here in the Fan Morning Show. Has Patrick Queen been good?
No, he has not been good. He was in fact not good again in the first game against the Falcons. He was solid last week. I thought he took steps forward, but I also think Patrick Queen hasn't necessarily played in the role that is his best right now. The Steelers have been blitzing. Patrick Queen loves to blitz, and I do think that changes this week. They've been very conservative as far as when they send the pass rush, because they've been able to win with four. But I think that against a team that loves to run the football, they're going to want to disrupt things up the middle. They're going to want to try to throw Justin Herbert off his timing. And part of that could be sending extra pressure, and Patrick Queen seems really good for that. I think especially in a game against running backs like J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards, two guys who, you know, when I talked to Patrick Queen yesterday, he's very familiar with as a former Raven. I think he's going to have to come up big to help the Steelers here. But again, the whole thing about getting him at the price that they did is that he's fitting into this defense as a role-playing linebacker. No one's asking him to be Roquan Smith, because this team has Alex Highsmith, TJ Watt, Cam Hayward's back and playing very well, Minkah Fitzpatrick, and Joey Porter Jr. is obviously having a really good year. They just need Patrick Queen to be in the right spots and make sure that the middle part of the field isn't a liability. And so far, it hasn't been. Has he been a playmaker yet? No, but I think those days are coming.
As a new face to the Steelers, who has impressed you more, Deshaun Elliott or Dante Jackson?
Ooh, that's a very good question. I'll say Deshaun Elliott, because I think that he has – there were questions about, could he help cover tight ends? Could he create turnovers? Could he help play over the middle? and he has answered those. I think Dante Jackson might have it if he didn't have some of the injuries he's had, because he's missed some time. And you saw Corey Trice come in for him and make a really a very important interception in the last game. But Deshaun Elliott, he's playing his role. He's being physical. He's making tackles in the backfield. He's contributing on turnovers. And he one thing that I thought was very important for the Steelers to have this year was another safety who could work with Minkah Fitzpatrick, who could communicate at a high level, fly to different parts of the field, and help do a lot of the little things that Terrell Edmonds was very good at doing when he was younger and with Minkah Fitzpatrick. And it's funny that they brought him back. But I think that Deshaun Elliott is like a better version of that. But I still think, if Deshaun Elliott goes down, that's a problem. That's why they went and got Terrell Edmonds off the practice squad from the Jaguars and added him back in here. So if I was to pick one right now, it'd be Deshaun Elliott. But look out for Dante Jackson. I think he's had a really good start to the season.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris, Pitt looking at a 4-0 start if they take care of business tomorrow, and then they're off until they play North Carolina. If they are to continue their run of success, what are some things that they might have to improve upon when they hit ACC play?
They got to stop the run more efficiently. I think that they're a team that they are at their best when their defense can tee off on you and just keep hitting you and hitting you and hitting you with a pass rush. Against West Virginia and Cincinnati, they allowed running backs to go off. And I said before the game, like, I know Jaheim White was the guy, but like C.J. Donaldson, put him in against Pitt, he's going to be a problem. And he was. You saw Corey Kiner for Cincinnati do the same thing. There's going to be other teams with running backs like that who get going. Pitt has to shore that up. But also, they need this offense to put together a full game. And I think that's something, the more and more I talk to players and coaches this week, that's something that Pitt's been focusing on all week. Like, hey, Youngstown State, they're not overlooking them, but they are acknowledging, look, this is a team. They just lost to Duquesne. We got to put these guys away. This can't be like Kent State where you're worrying about this in the third quarter. This can't be like, any of the other games where you're coming back in the fourth. This needs to be come out and execute. Do what you're supposed to do. Put the points up on the board. Run away with it. And then that way you can say, okay, this is what it looks like when this offense is humming. And we haven't seen this offense hum. We've seen this offense have bursts, and the bursts are very impressive. I mean, again, a 10-point comeback last week with under 5 minutes to go, a 21-point comeback the week before that, in the back end of the second half. That's all very impressive. But you're not always going to win with comebacks. And Pat Narduzzi talked about it. In fact, I wrote about it yesterday for the Post-Gazette. He came in on Sunday after the backyard brawl, and P.J. O'Brien was like, "Coach, smile." And Pat is like, "I'm not happy. We have not played to our potential. And I think the team, from talking to players, they've embraced that this week. And they understand they're 3-0, and they understand that if they win Saturday, it'll be the first time since forever since Pitt joined a conference that they've been undefeated in their out-of-conference record. And they get all that, but they're also staying focused. And I think that's another testament to Pat Narduzzi, because for all the complaints that, oh, he doesn't say the right things, oh, his defense isn't complicated, he sticks to his base defense a lot, he gets his guys to believe. He gets his guys to understand. I think that's a very important part of coaching that Pat Narduzzi nails down, I think, 9 out of 10 times.
Chris, this was really good, as it always is. We do it every Friday at 8 o'clock. Appreciate it, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me, boys.
Thanks, Chris.
Chris Carter of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.